Escondido. Like it, Spenny. Spenny getting us into the Tuesday.
Dude, worst bit we've ever done, best intro that I've ever heard.
I know.
Absolutely love it.
Thank you,
Spenny.
I really thought, can you take for that a bit? I really thought that the bit would still be going.
Yeah,
it was, if you're new to the show, the bit was we wanted an opening song. So we tasked Spenny with coming up with an opening song, and I thought for sure it would take months.
And we would just S on him the entire time, make fun of it, make it into a long-running bit.
We gave him the assignment on a Friday. That's what he came in with on a Monday.
Knocked it out.
I am getting tired of it, though.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I just got dizzy.
It's kind of boring. So maybe, Spenny, that's what we should do.
Do another one, Spenny.
Woo! What happened? You get a little winded?
Yeah, no. We were going to talk about this anyways, but I did physical therapy today, and it sucks. It sucks.
What happens when you go to physical therapy?
Well, let me tell you one thing. You need to wear workout clothes, which I need to acquire.
Talk to my son. He's the expert when it comes to
hiding pants somewhere. Yeah.
Emergency pants.
It starts out really slow, where they kind of like stretch you, massage you.
Sounds great.
You do little easy exercises.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
But they ramp it up every single time.
What does that
mean? And today was the furthest ramp I've done so far. It means I actually have to do exercise. It means I actually have to work out.
And this is all to try to fix your back that you broke from being so overweight.
I mean, overweight's not the only cause. We can blame many of my vices for why my back is so bad. But yeah, definitely one of those. And today, every time we did something, I thought we were about to be done. Have you ever worked out with a physical therapist or like a trainer?
Or just, I mean, do you remember when you were a kid and did you play like peewee football or something? And your coach, you'd be completely dressed out, and your coach would have you doing leg lifts, and you'd be in tears, and you'd be like, oh, I'm done.
It's time to go home.
And then all of a sudden, you would be like, get on your back. We're going to do another set of leg lifts again. It's like, oh, God, you prick.
That's exactly what happened today. Time was running out. I was looking at the clock just because I was worried about being late to work, and I had to do this thing where I took the bands, and you put them around your ankles, and you basically squat down and have to like walk back and forth.
Hey,
it would not be
good
to see.
Look at me.
I'm not videotaping.
Yeah, you are. No! You know exactly where I'm going with this. Don't we need content for the social apps?
I guess so.
Who in this building is in charge of the social apps for all the shows?
It was so awkward and embarrassing. Even an old man laughed at me.
You did not answer my question. Who in this building is in charge of all the social apps? Whose job is it to get numbers on IG and FB? And
it's part of my job.
Right.
It's part of my job.
So why would you not be getting video of you lumbering around in this place with elastic bands around your ankles?
I mean, I guess I could.
In pants that don't fit properly.
Not even workout pants, just shorts and like slides and a shirt.
Yes.
So I'm doing that, and I do wish I was videotaping.
Get that on Tinder.
There was this, my physical trainer, Teresa's awesome at Texas Orthopedics, but they kind of work on two people at a time, and you have an assistant.
I've seen this video.
There's this old man that kind of keeps busting my balls.
Oh, I've definitely seen this video.
Because he's doing all this stuff a little more effortlessly, and he's like 80.
Yeah.
And he's kind of just laughing at me. And then I do the band thing, and I think I'm done. I'm pouring sweat. And she goes, okay, now you need to get in this position on the table. And she puts a yardstick on my back and says, you need to do this exercise, and if it falls over, you have to start over again. So I thought I was done. I'm exhausted. I'm weak. I have to do that. And it keeps falling over, and he keeps going, yeah, that one will get you. And every time it falls over, he's like, oh, you almost had it.
Why don't you grab that stick and beat that old man to
death? Get the hell out of here, old, because let's be honest, he would whoop my ass.
Would he?
He's probably in better shape than I am because he's handling these exercises a lot better.
Good for you.
I finished that exercise, and then I'm like, Scoop, she's printing out my, new routine to do this week. I scoop my phone, my keys, my wallet, my hat, my water, and she goes, all right, let's get you 10 minutes on the incline machine. So I thought I was done. 10 more minutes of brutal, weird rowing on the incline machine, and I kept thinking, I'm going to quit, I'm going to quit, I'm going to quit, but I made it through. and then promptly went to Taco Cabana. So not quite working on everything, but you know, physical therapy sucks, but that's the only cure for a broken back.
Is what? Tacos?
Yes, we solved it.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
The snakes, they are attacking the city. CJ, would you know what to do if you got bit by a snake?
Yes. Convince someone to suck the poison out.
No,
I
that
think
is...
that's what we learned as youths, or maybe that was just my grandpa.
That is, yeah, that's a different...
Okay.
that's snake venom. The snake venom tastes like... Never mind. Look, they...
Yeah, hey, we're on the radio.
Yeah, for the second time in 2 days, a child has been bitten by a rattlesnake. It's got my attention. I was just out at my family's properties out in Llano. Saw 3 juvenile rattlesnakes 2 weekends ago when I was out there. I've been on that property for 5 years, never seen a single rattlesnake. Saw 3. And I would think with weird... rain patterns and the giant freeze issue. I would think there wouldn't be
snakes.
They'd still, I mean, there's always going to be snakes. I don't know if you know how the Bible works. But I'm just shocked to see them readily. And apparently they are, I don't know, encroaching, what have you. So I found this little article about what to do if you get bit by
a snake.
By snakes.
That's so bizarre because I grew up in Amarillo where Paladero Canyon and the land out there, you see a lot of rattlesnakes. I've never... once seen a rattlesnake in the hill country, ever.
I think these might be the first ones I've seen, too.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. First thing to do, make sure your will's up to date. No, that's not actually true. They're saying, hey, look, remove rings and watches before swelling begins.
Oh, no. Which I didn't even think about that.
I know. And I just like,
oh,
I saw
miserable.
That today and I was just like, oof, that's just brutal that they're letting you know, hey, look, things are going to get really uncomfortable. So
really quick.
Go ahead and start taking off anything that does not expand very quickly. Remove ring watches. And that's actually great because I never would have considered that.
No.
You know what I mean?
You're in pain. You just got bit.
In the old days, you think of what? I'm supposed to cut a little X over each of the tooth marks, and then, yeah, someone's supposed to suck it out. Suck it. If you've got soap and water or anything like that on hand, you're supposed to wash the bite as you can.
So you don't get infected.
Cover the bite up with a... And then they say if you've got a pen with you, what you can really do is start measuring, like every 15 minutes, measure the leading edge of the swelling or the pain. And then write the time down, right? So if you get bit, and then you can feel like the swelling is, you know, the size of, say, a silver dollar. You'd draw a line around there, and you'd put down 310.
Man,
and
this
then
is
it gets a little bigger. That way, they kind of know what's happening. Now, here's...
It's a lot of work to do if you're poisoned.
Well...
And in pain.
Those are the extras, okay?
Okay.
Here's the biggest thing. I had always heard, you know, make sure you stand up or whatever. You want to keep your heart above the wound. I'd always heard that. Well, it turns out they're really kind of like this year, venom. What would you call a venom expert? I don't even know what you call a venom expert. The Vin Diesels of the world basically said, hey, look, we've done a bunch of studying, and it turns out do not place the injury below heart level. And they've come out very firm about it.
Okay.
Because apparently what happens is that allows all the venom just to kind of pool in that area, and then you get really bad damage.
So it's better for your body to pump it and kind of work on it on its own.
Which I would think, like, no, I don't want it to spread around. No. But they say, look, we've done this a couple of times, and we're letting you know right now. And they even got specific. I just said specific, and that's not what I meant to say. They got specific. And they said, look, if it's a copperhead or a cottonmouth, water moccasin if you prefer, right, that you should keep that above heart level. So lie down on the ground, and if you say you get bit on an ankle, put the ankle up in the air. You know, make your child come over and then get on all fours and then
prop it up.
Put your leg up there. I do that a lot just in the evening because it's kind of nice and I like to keep them in their place. And if you get bit by a rattlesnake, for some reason, they say keep the injury at heart level. So then tell your kid, go get daddy a beer and then just lie as flat as possible. And then you should be okay. And then the other thing you really want to do is I'd call EMS. I'm going to put that in
first
there somewhere.
Because I'm going to be honest, this is a lot to remember. I can't even remember the phrase to recognize if a snake is venomous or not, if it's Brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, let it mellow.
That's like, correct. That's how you know.
Sure.
That's how you know, right
how
there.
How to go from there.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Question, Matt Bearden. Do you like fish sticks?
Yeah, I think I do.
Then you're a gay fish.
Tell me a bit, but I got there.
Okay, thank you. I ripped it off from South Park, but I'm glad you got it. But our favorite fish meals, be it a sandwich, be it a fish stick, or other things, could be threatened because there's a fish stick shortage thanks to a custom dispute.
Whoa, are stick fishes? Fish sticks come from the stick fish, correct?
They come from the stick fish, and now the stick fish is being held up at a U.S. customs port, all because of some weird laws that are very old and a dumb dispute. Basically, what's happening is there are 26 million pounds of fish in cold storage in Canada until a federal court judge can decide whether to let them be released and shipped properly to the United States. So in the meantime, all your favorite fish stick products and sandwiches are trapped in Canada, and it could lead to a huge supply chain issue.
Okay, a couple of important questions.
Yes.
I hope you may. Will this?
Are you about to say you hope I read this article? Because I just kind of glanced over it. But
no.
Go on.
So you can't tell me if it'll affect things like the. Is it called a filet-o-fish?
At McDonald's, yes, it could, because the specific type of fish is what's being held up.
Oh, haddock?
Yes.
And flaky white haddock?
Yeah. I always thought it was a different kind of fish.
I thought
it was cod, but I think it is haddock. And the whole deal is in order to bring fish into the United States, it has to be on a U.S. Vessel, and it has to stop at a U.S. port for cold storage, but they are cutting corners.
So many different weird import laws that are supposed to be for protectionism, and they're really rearing their ugly face during all of this now that things have had a hard time being shipped around the world because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
We really increased tariffs during the last administration, and so, you know, America was kind of famous. We would do stuff like, we grow chickens here, then we take the chickens, we put them on a boat, we ship them overseas to another country where they take the chicken carcasses and then turn them into chicken wings and chicken fingers, and then they ship them back
them
to
back
us.
Here.
They've gone literally all the way around the world to turn a chicken wing into a chicken wing.
It's so bizarre, and there's like just so many cases of, you know, where I grew up, there's a lot of hog farming. Mom joke. There's a lot of like crops that you'll basically be subsidized to grow the crop to raise the pigs.
Right.
But there's not enough market to actually sell it, so a lot of it gets burned and a lot of the pigs get slaughtered and not eaten. It's the weirdest thing, but also like
our way through it.
I just kind of think it's funny that, like you said, these laws that are here to protect the red-blooded American is now screwing them over because I can't get my filet of fish.
You know, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I have not really wanted to not be doing Talktober until right now, and something about like a kid's, like a full on, you know, when my mom, I always knew when mom and dad were going somewhere, or when I was just living with my mom and she was going somewhere, fish sticks and tater tots.
Ooh.
And that's what was coming out of the oven, and it was babysitter night, and you
got
excited.
Tartar sauce.
I'm gonna break the rules, I'm gonna have some ketchup, we're gonna be good tonight.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Austin's continuing to be super cool and get national recognition.
I mean, good, bad, I don't know. at least we're living here.
I think this is good and also interesting backstory. So, the New York Times, you ever heard of it?
Is that the fake news place?
Come on, keep politics out of this fun show.
This is just
about two fat guys talking about food.
Okay, better yet, is that the place that only lets me read three articles a month, and then I have to angrily find it somewhere else?
I suppose so, yes.
Okay.
That's a great way to put it. They just came out with a list. It's called the 50 places in America we're most excited about right now. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's their 2021 restaurant list that they come out with every year, and they, for some reason this year, they've called it the 50 places in America we're most excited to talk about right now, and Birdie's is a brand new restaurant in East Austin, and it got a nod. And It's on 12th. It shows how the great timing I have. I used to live 7-8 houses away from here and sold the house.
Oh, dear.
And now they're building all these like high-end restaurants all around it.
So you might have been able to sell the house for a tad bit more had you waited, I'm
guessing.
Well,
I was not in the position to be able to wait. I'm not.
We work in radio.
I'm a radio
man. We work in radio.
And but here's a cool thing. So it's a wonderful couple. They moved down here from New York some time ago, worked in some kitchens here, decided to open this restaurant. It's supposed to be super, super awesome. It's like fancy food. You know what I mean? Steak tartare.
Highfalutin stuff.
You can call it highfalutin. I don't think people should ever be afraid to go try food. Whether it's highbrow or lowbrow, I think that you should just be brave and go enjoy it, right?
I agree, but I also have a story to tell another day, another time. So.
I mean, on my previous show, Coyote, RIP, I suggested this really kind of high-end restaurant, and a couple times I went there, and I saw people with literally dirt on their boots eating there, and they said hi. They, like, one couple had come in from Elgin. Because I just said, hey, look, this place is so good
great
for romance.
Great date night, kind of,
great romance.
Absolutely.
And this couple was not a hip couple. I mean, I didn't mean that in a mean way, but they were probably in their 50s and, you know, Elgin couple. But they had, I think the guy was trying to score some points with his wife, and I think he did. It was a nice time.
Nice.
Anyway, this restaurant, the interesting thing about it is if you do go there, it's literally 7 houses down. Well, the house doesn't even exist anymore. They tore it down. But there used to be a whorehouse. Can you say whorehouse? Is that?
I mean, yeah, here, let me edit it. There we go.
Thanks. There used to be a whorehouse. Oh, I said it again.
An H house.
There used to be a trap house right down the street from this place. And I mean, I'm not kidding.
And now it's a fancy restaurant.
I mean, literally, it was a whorehouse. I moved there probably 20 years ago
into
this house in East Austin. And when I did, I quickly became friends with a lot of the
ladies.
Whores. They watched the neighborhood for most of us, you know what I mean? And a couple of pimp dudes, they didn't want the cops ever around, so they kept things clean and tidy.
Yeah.
And they became interesting friends. I mean, at first they kept stopping by my house when I was trying to fix the house up nice.
Mm.
And they were like, you know.
You need help?
Yeah.
You?
And I was just like, no, I'm not. I don't. Plus, this guy who's working with me is my dad, and that's going to be awkward. I don't want to be in that Pornhub video. Oof, Dad, don't make that face.
But now there's a fancy restaurant right down the street a piece of Austin history, shall we say.
It is odd to me how quickly things have changed.
We are gentrifying our sex workers.
Yeah, the space used to be, for the most recently, was a Taco Mex, which was a little window that you walked up to and got tacos and then kind of crossed your fingers and hoped you didn't die of food poisoning.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
And I have a very unpopular opinion about the new Dave Chappelle special, and I know it's going to make people mad, but it seems to be what everyone on the internet is talking about right now.
Yeah, I've noticed it coming across my feed quite a bit. People do have opinions about the newest Dave Chappelle special.
Indeed. And that's it. Good night, folks. I have seen a lot of arguing. People obviously standing for him and standing for what they call free speech, and a joke is supposed to be a joke, comedy is supposed to be comedy, get over it. And then a lot of people that are saying, no, this is just transphobic, and he continues to double down with this. I watched the special. I didn't feel it was that bad in the sense of insulting a community, but I also didn't think it was that funny. And this is the first time I think I've watched Dave Chappelle's show, either live or a special, when I just haven't had a laugh out loud moment I just don't think it's that funny.
Was it? Was your going into it? Was all this already going?
No.
So was it? Was going into the special where you were already influenced by people on the internet?
No, not at all. In fact, I had the lucky chance to go see him at Stubbs during the pandemic when they were doing the test up front, and you got the Chappelle mask, and a lot of what was on the special was stuff that he had clearly been working up to get to that.
Gotcha.
But it just. I mean, you're a comic, I'm not, but, you know, my fiance and I both were just like, yeah, that wasn't funny. It was a little preachy, not a lot of punchlines,
yeah,
not a lot of misdirection.
Are you a Chappelle fan, generally speaking?
I've always liked Dave Chappelle, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I also try not to get embroiled in what's happening right now with all this, because I would consider myself an ally, but I'm also not a trans person, so I don't feel like I can speak on someone's behalf. And I'm also not one of those people that are going to be like, it's free speech. It's just comedy. Just give it a leave. You're all being a bunch of
boussoirs. Does everybody that you don't like have that same accent?
Dude, I grew up in Amarillo. Yes, everyone I don't like has that accent.
Well, I'm not going to weigh in on it at all. Because
why?
I haven't watched it. And I've learned an important lesson over the years, which is if you don't actually know what you're talking about, shut the your hole. You don't have to weigh in on everything.
True. The internet's there for us to do that.
I love to run my mouth, and I will happily run my mouth about something that I know about. But I haven't seen the special. And truth be told, I haven't seen a Chappelle special in, I don't know, 20 years or so. Part of when I was working as a stand-up comic, I didn't like to watch a whole bunch of other stuff because I didn't like to have it inform what I was working on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't like to go,
unintentionally copy.
Yeah, even if you don't mean to, you do. And generally, comics are pretty good about telling each other, hey, man, that's really close to blah, blah, blah. So if you're working something out and somebody tells you, hey, man, you're kind of running close into somebody's material, you can drop it there or then go watch it.
Oh, I know. But, when I did Funniest Person in Austin, you told me, hey, that's my Ren Fair bit. which, I mean, it was an observation we both had at the Renaissance Festival, but I probably was influenced by you.
Did I say it to you in an accusatory way, or was
no,
it busting
no,
your
you
balls?
No, you were super cool about it. You're busting
my
balls.
I'm sure I was just busting your balls, man. I really don't care. I've been in the game so long that I really don't care. And, you know, Chappelle's been nice to me. I got to open some shows for him in big old, you know, like 11,000-seat arenas and stuff like that. Those are great opportunities. He's super cool back then, and wish him well. I don't know. Yeah, I can't weigh in on.
I think that's good advice. Do you think there are people that are trying to get angry about this, so they're watching it to find something they're going to be mad about?
Well, but also, what happens on the internet too is sometimes people are actually weighing in on the debate; they're not weighing in on the material. So they've read what they believe is happening, and then they're weighing in on what they think the debate is, and that's where we've kind of gotten really kind of sideways on a lot of issues, not just comedy, but I mean, just in general. It's why we don't speak to our grandparents and uncles anymore. Do you know what I mean? Is that there is an opinion of what is happening, and people are debating that opinion. They're not actually going back to source and then making and I'm not saying, hey, I'm not defending. Maybe I would watch this and go, well, this is horrible. What a lazy take or whatever. I don't know. I will also say this. Even when I have watched a lot of stuff, when it's comedy, I generally won't weigh in unless it's somebody. I've weighed in a couple people that I hate already and I don't care. But I don't want people coming for my material either, especially if it's stuff that's in the past where I'm like, hey, look, I've changed my opinion. I don't do that stuff anymore or whatever. I don't know. I just, unless I'm there and I saw it with my own eyes, I'm not weighing in on video anymore because it is generally lead you down to into a place where you look like an idiot.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Important question for you, CJ. Last night, the governor came out while we were on air and said that he was passing a new executive order that said that no one, no entity whatsoever, could require vaccines from COVID-19.
Even private businesses. Small government, Greg, back at
but
it.
But hang on, before you get too far, here's the question. Here's the important question.
Yeah.
Will this extend to ska punk bands?
I mean, it depends on something you always say, the spirit of the law or the letter of the law.
Well, the reason I ask is because I don't know if you've heard of an Austin band called Hans Gruber and the Diehards.
Dude, with that name, I should have heard of him.
Great name.
It is my job to discover new music, and I haven't.
Yeah. Anyway, three of the members kicked out another two of the members apparently back in May. But the story just kind of came out, just came out, actually, in the Chronicle, that I guess two of the founding members were actually ousted by three of the other members, but the three of the other members who had come on apparently may have brought a little more musical talent and actually did the songwriting. So they feel free
letting the other dudes go.
I guess they feel brave about it or whatever. But I'm wondering, will the governor weigh in on the ska punk firing controversy? The two of the guys didn't want to get vaccinated, and then the other three said, hey, look, we've gotten into a couple of festivals, but the agreement we signed says that everyone has to be vaxxed to perform.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we'll just drop those festivals. And then the other three members were like,
how do we make money?
That's kind of the big thing. And I guess the other three people kind of had quit their jobs and were ready to tour And we're like, we don't want to.
This isn't happening.
Anyway, it came out. It's a fun article in the Chronicle. I followed it because, well,
the name of the band.
That, and
it's
also
it's a ska punk band.
And their like big hit song is "We're All Gonna Die." It's what it's called. So it's kind of perfect. And there's a link from the Chronicle article back to Hans Gruber and the Die Hards website, where the post came in from these two other guys who had been
kicked out.
Kicked out. Well, they kicked out. They told the story and said, we showed up at a meeting, and out of nowhere, we just got booted. Now, I've been around the block a couple times. That never really completely. It just doesn't sound. You know what I mean?
Like there's a reason. Yeah, it's usually with bands. It's usually what, alcohol, drugs, girlfriend being too involved. It's something epic like
that.
Let
me just
say that
I know somebody who's pretty close to me who recently parted ways with something here in the city, and I know that he's been accused of just parting with no reason whatsoever, mm-hmm. and it's not exactly true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, secret message received.
And so usually that just doesn't happen. And then the other three members were like, look, for months we have been saying, guys, we got to figure this out. We got to figure something out here moving forward. And the other guys, I guess, were really into a different viewpoint. How about? And they finally just said, look, we've kind of said it's three against two. We're saying this, it needs to happen, or some other, and you guys are saying, no, we want to fight the power that be. Then there's a whole nother thread on their site where the real accusations come out.
Oh, dear.
White nationalists, Proud Boys.
Okay,
it gets so good.
Wait,
so,
in a ska punk band? I don't believe you.
Here's the thing. I don't want to watch The Real Housewives of any city.
No.
But I will watch the show The Real Ska Punk Bands of Austin, Texas.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Matt, you much of a South Park fan?
Man, I no. I'm not a not fan. I just don't watch it.
Just don't watch it.
Does that make sense? I remember when the very first short video came out, a friend showed it to me. He was living in LA. He got it from an editing house where he was working, and he's like, you won't believe this thing. It's incredible. We watched it. It's before there was ever a, you know what
YouTube
I mean?
YouTube or, yeah, something like
and,
that.
And I remember thinking, oh my God, this is incredible. I watched the first season and then just didn't have cable anymore. I couldn't afford cable for a long time. So yeah. I lost track with it, man. But it still makes me laugh when I see cuts from it.
It's definitely one of my favorite shows and probably one of those that when I've run out of stuff to watch or I'm just about to fall asleep, I'll put it on. So I've cycled through the season several times. Well, they've done a bracket of all of their top South Park episodes.
Because there's got to be a lot.
There are a lot. And it's narrowed down to four right now. I unequivocally know which one of these is the absolute best, and I can explain why later. But first, I think maybe we should revisit these this week. Watch all four episodes. It's not too much. Half hour each, 22 minutes each.
Yeah, no, I don't mind. I'll do that.
Come back Friday and then kind of discuss.
I'd love to do that.
Sounds like a good challenge. And if you're out there and you're listening, you should probably do this too. These are the four episodes, all of which are incredible. There's Make Love Not Warcraft, Butters Bottom Bitch, Scott Tenorman Must Die, and Medicinal Fried Chicken. Those are the four episodes. And then by the end of the week, they're going to have one winner. And I thought we should also do that and have our single one winner.
Okay. So out of those four, which are the two, how are the brackets set up?
What do you mean?
Well, out of the, you know, I'm saying they're not making four go against each other. They probably have paired two up against each other.
Make Love Not Warcraft is taking on Butters Bottom Bitch.
Okay.
Scott Tenorman Must Die is taking on Medicinal Fried Chicken, which I kind of think is a weak entry for that far along, but whatever. Still a good episode. And so we should all.
Well, and maybe you should revisit it because maybe you'll change your mind on it.
I might. I mean, that's the challenge. That's also the thing when I rewatch South Park. Like I said, I'm usually kind of, it's as I'm about to go to bed, end of the day, nothing else to watch, just comfortable to put on and have as a background. But I'm still noticing like a lot of jokes that I didn't see or get before. And so I'm absolutely.
You didn't see or get them, or you were super high watching it. And so it's easy to, that all of it seems new this time around.
Hold on.
Yeah, okay.
Got that. All right.
That's how South Park works. Who's got South Park these days?
You can watch,
Hulu,
I think, Hulu.
Is it Netflix? Is it Disney Plus?
It's Hulu, but I think on HBO Go, you can watch it unedited without commercials.
That's the way I want to watch it.
Dude, I don't know. My fiance's got every one of these streaming services that ever existed.
What's ever going to happen to you? Like, you better...
treat her right?
Yeah, you've got to get to the wedding part, because if she ever leaves... you'll have no entertainment in your life. She pays for the television. She pays for the Netflix. She pays for the Spotify. What are you going to do, baby?
She pays for the food.
oh, God, that can't be cheap in your house.
The healthy food, at least. I order the Chinese takeout. So watch these South Park episodes, and we'll revisit Friday and see where the bracket goes from there.
Hell yeah.
Here's more from Matt and CJ.
Great news for all of our druggie friends.
Oh, yeah, we have so many of them. I mean, who else listens to us? Let's be honest.
I have a lot of druggie friends. I don't mean that in a negative. I mean, they're living their life the way they're going to. But this is good news just in general. Cops, APD, are now going to be able to carry Narcan with them. Are you familiar with Narcan? Do you know what it does?
Yeah, there was a story in the news recently about the inventor of it saved someone's life on the street with it. And I guess if you're overdosing on opioids, heroin?
Opioids, yeah.
Okay, yeah, if you're overdosing, this minimizes the effects and gives a better chance to save their lives.
It doesn't even minimize it. I mean, it instantly reverses the effects. So you
really?
You have people that are in full... essentially cardiac arrest. I mean, I think the thing with opioids really is that it depresses your breathing, and that's why it ends up killing you. But they give this to people. They call it the Lazarus drug, because they're like, you give it to somebody, and within seconds, they're sitting up and talking.
This is straight up out of Pulp Fiction.
Is that essentially what we're talking about? I don't know what that was in Pulp Fiction. That may have been something else, right?
It is.
Narcan is not shot into your heart. It's a little tiny inhaler that they just squirt right up your nose, and it immediately goes into the membranes right there and can reverse the... And it's important because, to be serious for a moment... you and I have a lot of younger friends in town.
Oh, yeah.
Your friends go out. They go to, you know, Far East 6th, down Rainy, whatever. I'm not here to judge. We've all been young, and the fact is humans love to feel good, right? Yeah. That's part of one of the things that we're naturally set in.
And escape.
And for some people, that can mean drugs. You go down there, and your usual senses are a little depressed. Maybe you had a drink or two, and then someone has, you decide, hey, let's get a little quick bag of cocaine. The problem we're having right now is that there is a huge amount of fentanyl is in the system, and you are reading about it more and more and more. Young people who don't know everything that happens in the world yet, but have their whole lives ahead of them, that are ODing on very small quantities of drugs.
And that's coming from any. It's coming from pills. It's coming from powdered coke. It's coming from MDMA. A lot of different stuff is just being cut with fentanyl right now, which is... highly addictive and very easy to OD on.
And people react differently to it. But yeah, you can, I mean, it can be kind of aspirated. They've talked about cops who've cut into a bag, and that just makes enough of a little puff that they breathe it in and they go into full arrest right there if you are highly sensitive to it as well. Plus also, you know about the amounts of OxyContin that are out there and things like that.
That's why I couldn't get anything good when I had my critical back injury. Tylenol 3, thank you. It sucks, dude. But yeah, it's an epidemic. I mean, it's literally causing so much problems in our country, and it sucks that... you know, like we've kind of been saying, you go out to party, you're doing a drug you probably do a lot, and you don't know exactly what's in it, and suddenly you're in a bad situation.
Yeah. Now, luckily, EMS is usually on the scene very quickly here in this city. We have a pretty good EMS department. On rare occasions, the police are there first, and now police will be able to check out this Narcan, have it in their kit with them, and if they are on the scene first, they can administer it. How good is this stuff? Well, I just saw some numbers about here in the Austin area. It was administered 266 times last year. They administered Narcan 266 times in 2020. Saved the victim's life 265 times.
Almost every time.
Yeah.
It's like the EpiPen of ODing. Yeah.
It's incredible to have on hand. And remember, we are talking about, you and I are, because of who we know, we're talking a lot about of recreational drug use. But there are also people who have prescriptions for a lot of these drugs,
yeah,
who have accidental overdoses sometimes. Maybe they have forgotten and they double up on their pills,
yeah,
or
yeah,
something like that. And it's really going to be a kind of a pretty amazing thing.
And I say it's also a good progressive policing stance, instead of just having that old school mentality that it's like, oh, well, you had it coming, you shouldn't have been doing drugs. It's more like we're preparing in case someone actually does do it. I think it's a good thing.
You mean protecting and serving?
Yeah, yeah. Look at that.
Put it on a car.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
A super talented actor, weirdo, and a person you hear quite a bit here on 101X. Jared Leto is once again dealing with pepper spray.
He does he like the taste?
I'm guessing so, because he keeps finding himself in trouble with it. I mean, most recently it was on the set of Suicide Squad, I believe it was, where his method acting made the other people so uncomfortable that Viola Davis threatened to pepper spray and to get him to quit.
Right.
This time around, he was on vacation in Italy. Walking around, having fun, a good time. It's
looking
a celebrity.
Looking for Mr. Gaddy's.
Yeah, you got to get some of that quality authentic Italiano, some gabagool. As he was wandering around, he stumbled into the middle of a protest.
Hey,
I don't know if you've been following what's happening in France and Italy, but their COVID lockdowns are causing a lot of people to be angry, to go out in the streets, to get loud, to protest, to break things. And he found one of these, and it's documented on his Instagram.
Wow, I'm so glad that we don't have any of that happening over here in the U.S.
Oh, we all get along.
That everyone's super level-headed about COVID and has been just as adult as possible.
Yeah.
We all get along.
Hey, man, we're Americans. Well, he found his way on vacation in the middle of a seemingly violent protest and got in the center of it. And the police were not pepper spraying, but tear gassing. And he got a little bit on him. Now, the reason I brought this in, it's not much of a story. It's happening. You see it trending and whatnot. But when you watch his Instagram video, you can hear the moment. You can see it physically. But I want you to hear the moment when the spray cloud comes over him, and okay, when we realize, oh, this stuff sucks. Here we go.
Protest against vaccinations and requirement of a green pass. There's tear gas everywhere, so
in case you were wondering, that long silent pause is just a moment where he's holding the phone in selfie mode. He's talking to himself, and then he's describing what's happening. And that long pause with the holy S in the middle of it is just where you see this cloud kind of come over him, and his eyes start watering, and he starts kind of losing it. And so once again, Jared Leto in the midst of a tear gas, pepper spraying controversy. But I think he'll be all right.
Yes, his new band is called 30 Seconds to Wheezing.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
CJ, you and I love to make jokes about what radio pays. frankly, I actually love the job or compensated pretty well. It's just the joke is funny because radio, I mean, you hear the stories about some people who've made millions, literally tens of millions or more in radio. And even some people in this city in radio's heyday making, close to $1 million. So it's fun to make those jokes, right?
Yeah, because it's changed just a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe a decade or two
behind. I don't want to do anything else. This is really good for a person.
I don't know what I could do.
With my kind of laziness. This works great for me. But as a new article out from a company called Blind that does, they ask people to let them know, hey, what are you getting paid for what you're doing around the city? And they just put out their analysis, what's happening in Austin. And so this is for the start of this month. Some of the highest paid positions. Wayfair, someone's getting paid $325,000 a year. Just got signed on $170,000 in base salary.
$34,000 in bonus, $121,000 worth of stock, and $25,000 of sign-on bonus.
Just for locking kids in cabinets?
Yep, that's it. That's
inside
it.
Joke there.
Not inside. People know.
Okay.
There's got to be some people out there that follow the...
Believe the Wayfair conspiracy.
The Q craziness.
Yeah.
Stripe's a digital payment company, and it's actually... I didn't know this, but it's one of the most valuable privately held companies in the world. They just offered somebody almost $30,000 sign-on bonus, plus $116,000 in stock, $15,000 in bonuses, and $155,000 base salary. Both of these so far have been, and guess what? It's going to happen to a lot of these people. Software engineering.
Okay. I was about to say, like, hopefully maybe marketing, run the Twitter account for Stripes. I could do that.
Google offer just gave somebody a little over $250,000 a year. And they're expanding for another 1,100 employees. The billion-dollar campus is opening up for Apple. Here's interesting. One person said, hey, I'm working over there as a software developer. I just got offered $175,000 in base salary, $270,000 in stock over 4 years, and $20,000 sign-on bonus. And another person on that same site said, hey, I just got a job at Apple as a software developer, and I got $155,000 in base salary, $180,000 in stock over 4 years, and $30,000 for... that person's got to be pissed because they're like, wait a minute, somebody else got the same job for an extra 40 grur a year? PayPal, 200 grand. VMware, 180 grand a year. Amazon, 158,000 a year. All of them, it's software developers,
I need to go back to school. I need to go to ACC and become a software developer. That seems like the place to be.
Well, it's not all just software developer. Here's another Amazon, Apple. Here's another A-named company that just signed on for $260,000, a level 69 bartender at Applebee's, baby. Hell yeah!
We can do that.
Made that part up.
Do any of these positions involve emceeing a bikini oil wrestling contest at a biker bar? Because I think we could both do that.
You and I are actually judging a dog beard and mustache contest in a week and a half. And guess what that pays?
I think we get some Lone Stars out of it.
Drink tickets. Yeah, we were offered some drink tickets.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Found the best political ad ever.
Is it mine from a college that ran in San Marcos?
That's the second best.
Okay, that's the cringiest.
I forgot. What did you run for? City council?
No, I was on the city council as the student rep, but I ran for vice president of the student government.
Oh.
And lost.
You made a video for that? Boy, any excuse to put yourself on YouTube, and you were all about it, aren't you?
Pretty much. So you found the best political ad ever.
Look, I thought a long time ago, I think I removed some politics from my life. I think I'm a fairly political person but I like to do. I like action. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I try to do things, volunteer, things that you can do locally to make a better change in your world. I don't think that when I talk politics, I don't mean like, hey, do you talk politics? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm a little bit different and just like, I don't sit on, Facebook and bitch about it. But occasionally I find something and I'm like, oh, well done. Well done. Yeah. And one of the things that you should always know is that things that you do early in your political career can come back and haunt you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even in my minor career, there was a lot of staging and control over what we could do.
Oh,
and
really?
I'm talking as like a 21-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the things that you know, it used to be, you used to get in a lot of trouble for what they used to call waffling or flip-flopping. If you said one thing and then you changed your mind, people would be like, oh, he flip-flops. Now it's almost like a badge of honor somehow. That's gone away. You know, it's weird who gets to control the political narratives out there. But there's a gentleman. Let me see if I can find his name really quick. His name is Jack Ciccarelli. Jack Ciccarelli.
Okay.
He's running for governor of New Jersey. And he really, really stepped in the past. And it is coming back to haunt him big time.
Oh, dear.
They are making a lot of ads about it.
Oh,
and they are going to run it into the ground. And I think that his whole campaign has pretty much been torpedoed from here on out.
Do tell. Why?
Well, he lives in New Jersey, and apparently, at one point in his life, he wanted to make a law against the New Jersey pastime, which is swearing. And this, I want you to play this ad. This ad is choice. Right. It is choice. Yes,
you know who this guy is?
No clue.
No.
That's Jack Cittarelli, the GOP candidate for governor. He once led an effort to ban swearing.
You're shitting me.
He did what?
No f***ing
way.
One hole. What the f***? Aw, that's kind of nice.
Really?
No. This is f***ing New Jersey. We can't let that hole win.
Anyway. That's a solid ad. Memorable. Yeah, I like that.
It's running on television in New Jersey. I mean, that we didn't put the edits in. That's how it runs, as with those edits. But those are all just like grandmas and grandpas and stuff who are just cursing into the mic and like, this is New Jersey.
Yeah. What do we do, huh?
That's like banning barbecue in Texas. You just don't.
You're not going to win that way.
No, you're not going to. Bad idea, Jack. It's coming back to haunt you. 101X.
Matt and CJ. Matt Bearden, would you participate in a real-life Squid Game if it was happening?
Does it get me away from the family for a couple hours?
I think it'll get you away from the family for a long time. Squid Game, of course, the world-renowned popular Netflix show in which you compete in basically children's games with the chance to win a lot of cash.
Or
but
die.
You can also die.
There's a punishment,
yeah,
too.
Just a little bit. Have you watched it yet?
I'm watching it.
Oh, it's so good. You got to get into it. It's also a lot more character-driven than just being gore and violence, but there's a lot of gore and violence and suspense. The reason I ask you this, though, is because there is now a real-life Squid Game.
We saw this coming.
Of course. The Korean Cultural Center in Abu Dhabi, of all places. A few rich folks there. So the whole purpose of Squid Game is for rich people to be entertained by, you know, folks in debt fighting
it
out.
Are you not entertained?
The Korean Cultural Center in Abu Dhabi is hosting a real-life version of Squid Games. Players will compete at Red Light, Green Light, the Candy Challenge, the Marbles Game, and, of course, the infamous card flipping game. Here's what is not interesting about it. There will not be any punishment of death.
Boo.
And there's also not a big fat cash prize.
Boo.
When I first read this article, when I saw Squid Game coming to Abu Dhabi, I was like, oh, those billionaire oil sheiks are going to make this real life, and it's going to be incredible, and it's going to be awesome. Also, a little bit sad for humanity, but who wouldn't want a real life Squid Game?
I'd watch a real, I don't want to watch people die, man. I think about aged out of death.
Yeah, it is kind of brutal. I could never watch Phases of Death as a kid, even though I knew
hated
it was fake.
Stuff,
but
yeah.
it would. I had friends that were into that, and it was bizarre. And then, of course, you know, most recently, The Hunger Games were a big thing. Or do you remember the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger called Running Man?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
I thought you were going to say Kindergarten Cop.
that one, too, also resulted in a lot of death. But it just seems like the apocalyptic society, the amount of anger people have, the need for survival fitting in, the lack of resources. We're going to end up at that, right? We're going to end up.
It's funny, though, that you say that, because is that not a sitting member of Congress today called for a civil war, which is odd because you see people do it. Well, they didn't call for that. They called to have America broken up into two countries. So, I don't know. You see that from pundits, right? Or somebody who's writing an opinion column. But
yeah,
you rarely see
Facebook.
It from a sitting member of Congress. But maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's where we would chill out, is if we got to get together and watch these. Look, they built the Coliseum for a reason. You know, sometimes you just need to watch a tiger eat a human being, and then you chill out
a
little bit.
And then you feel a lot better. Yeah, in the days of the Roman Empire, there were a lot less. One of the things that prevented riots was having games like that. The emperor, the rich people would throw these giant games. People would calm the F down, and then someone would get murdered, eaten by a lion, mauled by a bear, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So real life Squid Game, it's probably going to happen anytime
soon.
I
don't know. I disagree with you that it will actually happen, but I wouldn't. If you were to pick the children's game from a Squid Game,
yeah,
what would you compete in?
I would excel at marbles.
Really?
Yeah, I used to play that as a kid, and then I eventually graduated into Pogs, which is very similar to the card flipping game in Squid Game. So either of those, marbles, Pogs,
okay.
I'm in. What about you? I mean,
what game from my childhood would I most want to play again?
Yeah.
Where is my dad?
Matt and CJ, 101X.
CJ, do you know where to get the mushrooms or acid?
Yeah, dude, actually I do. Just okay. Any one of our comedy friends.
Okay, just important because the world's biggest bounce house is coming to the Austin area.
Ooh! Okay, yeah. What does that entail?
Well, literally, you remember the bounce house from when you were a kid?
Yeah, not a fan.
Not a fan?
No.
Jump too much and then throw up at birthday parties?
No, it just, bounce houses, those giant inflatable slides were always run by some carny and they always stank. They always had some really bad smell to them. And
are you a carniest?
I guess so. And on top of that, in the Texas sun, that stuff got really hot. So anytime the material touched your skin, I know I'm the only kid that's going to say this, but never a fan of the bounce houses.
Yeah, well, November 5th and 6th. It was a weekend. They are out at Carson Creek Ranch. Was out there by the airport.
Yeah. Been some music festivals out there. Okay. Some drugs.
Well, they're going to have... it's and when I say the world's biggest bounce house, literally Guinness Book of World Records, it's over 13,000 square feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a usual bounce house would probably be, what, maybe 12 by 12. So that's 144 square feet. This is over 13,000 square feet. And that's just the bounce house. There's a 900-foot obstacle course, a bunch of other stuff going on there. I looked at some videos, and it's brightly colored. There's this beautiful sun. There are these really gorgeous kids bouncing on the bounce house. It almost makes you want to go until you detach your brain for a second and remember what reality is. You ever been to a you ever been to a public pool in this city? And we go to the public pool a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever go to the out to the on like a Friday before it's too late when it's just kids on the rides out at the rodeo?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you're not having as much fun because you are surrounded.
There's just...
my little bastards everywhere.
There's just mocos everywhere. There's kids throwing up. Uh-huh. There's kids peeing on them.
It's bad. So maybe the bounce house for adults isn't a good idea.
I'm probably losing us this account. They are... I guess that you can go and you can buy a 3-hour slot. Your mom's a 3-hour slot. And you can you get tickets. I don't know how much they are. I didn't bother to look it up.
So you just... pay for 3 hours and you just go hog wild.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, there's no way that once my wife hears this that we're not going. I know how my wife operates.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to hear about this, and my kids will have a really good time, but I guarantee you both of my kids cry at some point.
Yeah, that's a given.
They'll have fun for a while, then one of them's going to get tired.
Knocked over.
One's going to get knocked over. One's going to be upset because another kid did whatever. Then the other one will be fine the whole time and making fun of the other one. And then as it's time to go, the other one will be upset for some reason. It's going to be a nightmare of a day.
I'm excited about this.
But you know why I'm going?
Why?
Show content.
Yeah.
there's no way. Well, you say you're excited. Why?
Just because I know there's going to be a fight before.
Oh, yeah.
A fight on your way there when you're trying to get everyone in line. And then
Listen up, dads.
On the way home.
Every dad knows the triumvirate of fights for any kind of family event.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Oh, we've got a Smash Mouth update.
Oh!
Breaking news! As you might want to explain, yesterday we played a clip that... I'm just going to play the clip and then kind of talk
about
it.
That's fine, sure.
Okay, I know the ethics of this aren't great, but I did just see Smash Mouth perform live at a local beer and wine festival. When I say this is the most chaotic show I've ever seen in my entire life, I have no words.
At no point was this sound balanced.
And you told me yesterday that was all we could play on the radio.
Well, right after that, he started yelling that he was going to effing kill somebody in his entire family. He's leaning against posts out of breath. He just starts yelling people that he says that if he could suck his own, then he would. He'd never leave the house. He was having a day.
He was having a day, and it was a food and wine festival, so there was some speculation that he was...
eaten too much?
Maybe a little...
too much food at the food and wine festival.
He went a little hedonistic there, and...
Who knows?
Literally could not perform. Well, today's news, Smash Mouth singer Steve Harwell has retired.
Smash Mouth Steve?
Smash Mouth Steve is retiring after his chaotic rant went viral on TikTok and other platforms. Yeah, it says he's no longer part of the band, and he's retiring due to physical and mental health issues. They said Steve's been dealing with long-term medical issues over the past 8 years. During his last performance at the Big Sip stage, he suffered numerous symptoms directly linked with his current medical situation. That's what his rep said. That's a nice way of the rep saying he has a drinking problem.
Yeah, I think we've all been there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah,
you and I have both done that exact same thing. So I've had a long-term medical issue also, I guess. So, yeah, I think it is interesting, you know, when he just...
It's kind of sad because, I mean, they've... you know, during the middle of the pandemic, when everything was shutting down, they were one of the first bands to come tour, to come play through Austin. Clearly, that's some good mailbox money. When you've had a band that has like a hit that's that huge, you can tour the rest of your life based off that song. Just make that mailbox money. And looks like the demons just got to him, or, you know, hopefully he gets help. Hopefully he finds his way out of this, because, man, to screw up, and I don't want to say it's screwing up, but to have that easy gig,
yeah,
and just lose it.
He's just kind of going from festival to festival. He says he wishes the best for Smash Mouth in their continued pursuits. And I was like, what do you mean? What are their continued pursuits? Playing more beer and wine festivals or whatever? Yeah. But I actually don't wish any ill of anybody who's going through.
No, same here. I mean, he's
stuff that's like that. But I do think it's odd when he gets up and he's like, gets up at that AA meeting and he's like, "Hi, I'm Steve." And everyone goes, "Hi, Steve." And he goes, I'm an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey, now I'm a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. All that glitters is gold. Sometimes it's also beer. Anybody got a beer?
Somebody. Here we go. Little dedication on 101X. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna play that. You gave me a really sharp look there.
I just shocked that I was like, really? Have we gotten this okayed?
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Matt, do you consider yourself a meat smith?
A meat smith.
I made that term up.
Is that
up,
a masturbation thing? Then no. I guess.
I mean, I've been there. We're all professionals at that. But you like barbecuing, you like smoking, you like cooking.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's a natural Texas thing. Yeah. Are you familiar with Max the Meat Guy?
No.
And I'm not going to make any wiener jokes here. I was introduced to him by Jess Pryles. Follow him on Instagram at Max the Meat Guy. And one of my favorite things he does is the overnight cookout challenge, where he'll show up at a restaurant. He's taken on Longhorn Steaks, Arby's, Roadhouse. He shows up. He orders whatever he's going to challenge. Then he stays there overnight, smoking it, cooking it, making it in his truck, stays the night. The next day, buys said item. Say it's a steak from Longhorn Steakhouse. And then we'll take his steak and then cuts him up and has random people in the parking lot decide. If he loses the challenge... If the people like the restaurant's meat more than his meat, he gives $100 to the chef. And since I've been following him, Max the Meat Guy has never been beat.
I would think so, because generally speaking, I mean, slow-cooked meat right there is always going to be, I think, better than a lot of times.
I mean, yeah, especially staying overnight to do that. Like I said, he's beat Longhorn Steaks. He's beat Arby's. Roadhouse.
Did he make his own fake cheese sauce? I mean,
Basically, he'll replicate something of the restaurants, but he'll do it in his way.
Really? So he just thinly sliced a rat?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
He's never been beat until now. He recently was toppled, and it wasn't a steakhouse. It wasn't a Chili's chain restaurant. It was by a fast food restaurant.
Culver's?
No.
McDonald's?
Chain fast
Burger
food
King?
Restaurant. Keep
Hardee's,
going.
Carl's Jr.? Doc Howell? I'm running out.
Long John Silver's.
Hell yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Nothing's beating those Krispies. But here's the deal. He went and he ordered a burger with bacon from this place.
Wendy's.
He made his own
Jack
bacon. He sliced
Burger
it.
Burger King.
He smoked it overnight. He grilled his own burger. He used, what's it called, focaccia bread. Made his own spices, had fresh onions, fresh tomatoes,
that's
fresh
the problem
lettuce.
If you're going against burgers. That's where you screwed up.
You don't get too fancy, because he did that, and then he went out to have people walking into this restaurant try his burger and try their burger, and hands down, Wendy's kicked his ass.
Yeah.
The Wendy's Baconator beat him, and I was going to make that observation at the very end of this, is that, yeah, I think he got too fancy.
Well, it was like Bad Larry Burger Club. People line up to get those burgers, and those burgers have ketchup, mustard, a little bit of onion,
cheese,
a little bit of pickle,
and they
use American cheese because the comfort of a burger is that simplicity. And when you take a burger and you try to go fancy with it, it's a sandwich. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
It's a bread sandwich. And when people try to get too cutesy with a burger, they screw up what it is. Now, if you want to make a steak and go fancy, I'm all about it, or some fish dish or whatever, but I don't know. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Are you a Baconator fan?
Dude, look at me.
Yeah?
Of course I'm a Bacon. I love the Baconator.
All across the board. Do you like Wendy's?
Yes, I do.
When you like Wendy's? Not something?
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Time to celebrate, right?
Yeah, COVID numbers, we are down, and we talked about it yesterday, and sure enough, today they got together, whoever they are.
Yeah, the mysterious men behind our city.
Stage 3, we are down to stage 3.
Tight, so no masks when I go to Target now.
Well, it means different things.
Okay, maybe a mask when I go to Target?
Well, it depends. If you're inside and you're calling somebody a libtard, you don't have to have a mask. But if you're outside and you're calling someone a cuck, I think you do have to have a mask.
Yeah, I think they write those down in the requirements.
I forget how the COVID wars are, what the rules are to the COVID wars. Yeah, but essentially, if you're vaccinated, it means a lot of places you can reduce masks. Look, I'm not going to get into it with you. Some of you have made a decision, and you'll live by your own decisions. But for general safety's sake, they're saying that you're probably if you're vaxxed and indoors. So, like, you know, our whole company gets to return to work now.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks because now the salespeople are starting to bounce in here and say, "Hey, you get that thing I sent you Friday? Did you get that done?"
I like our salespeople. That's how I make money. You don't like our salespeople?
No, dude, because I don't make money.
Hey, salespeople, if you're listening, I enjoy making money and would love to chat with you. Somebody in this room doesn't, so why don't you just bring all the accounts to me?
Yeah, go ahead and chat with Matt. Our salespeople, who are up until Nick in this studio got sick, it was exclusively salespeople who were getting COVID in the office for like a year straight.
Well,
but luckily everyone's okay. We didn't have any serious cases here.
No.
And it's good to see down to stage 3 because, let's be honest, a lot of our income comes from going and standing outside of a gentleman's club and trying to
Just put a period there.
Yeah, there you go.
Just standing there begging for cash.
Hey,
you got
a
course.
Something?
I'm excited because after stage 3 comes stage 2, and I want to get back to it. Is look, I understand why we do it, but it is a hassle to remember masks and the different protocols, and then sometimes you go to a restaurant and you feel awkward. I mean, I want to give money to people who are working their asses off, and then sometimes I feel guilty going into a place and being like, oh my God, this person is working their ass off
to possibly get sick.
To possibly get sick. That always makes me always makes me feel weird too. I'm glad. All politics aside, I'd rather not have any COVID in the city.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the weird thing about fighting about this anyways, is like I don't think anyone wants to shut everything down. I don't think anyone wants anyone to get COVID. I don't think anyone wants this to continue. So.
Yeah, no, I got to be honest with you, haven't enjoyed it.
It has not been fun.
It was a fun novelty, and when I remember when they told us that we were going to be closed for a month, possibly 6 weeks, a year and a half ago, I remember thinking, oh my God, boy, I tell you what, the end of the 6 weeks, what a crazy party we're going to have. And now that this has dragged on this long, I am concerned. Our vaccination numbers are going up. We do know that a large vaccinated population, or antibody population, I guess I should say, would help us reduce the risk of possibly having other variants. That's the big thing, is that, an next variant comes along.
Don't want this to keep mutating, lasting forever.
Yeah, because I'm so tired of it, man.
It's
really
dragging
exhausted.
On.
Plus, it's killed half my income. I'm a stand-up comic. I've made a choice. I don't want
My fans have been great. They've been there with me. A lot of them have been there for 20 years. I'm not going to, I don't want to pack them into a building that I can't control stuff over. And the club that was my favorite club closed because of COVID. And until it reopens, I don't really think I have the joy
there.
Don't
want to get out there and do it. Speaking of exhausting and dragging on too long, it's the end of the Matt and CJ show.
Forever?
Dude, we'll find out tomorrow. Will we be back? That's radio.
Do you know this one? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Just Matt and CJ.
Just Matt and CJ who?
That's radio.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.